The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
You're listening to Real People of Orange County, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin. This show is a fun and informative look inside the lives of Orange County's best and brightest. These are people who serve their community in a meaningful capacity on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Well, hello, everybody. This is Kimberly Martin. I'm your, oh gosh, what should I say? Your lame host. I swear, every time I get into the studio and I try out something new with respect to my, my cart system over here, I can just hear Kevin shaking his head in the office back there. But someday this newbie is going to get it down, and it just may not be today, but maybe next week. I have hope. What about you? Anyway, if you're just tuning in, this is Real People of Orange County, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin, and I love coming here each and every week, talking to new individuals I meet along the way in Orange County life, and I get to bring in a new guest today. I'm really thrilled to have in our studio Kathy Tillotson. Kathy, say hello.
Hello. Thank you, Kimberly, for having me today.
Good. Well, it's good to have you here. I'm going to give a little introduction to Kathy, and I want everybody to know a little bit about her. Kathy is a special lady. I'm calling her a soldier. And soldiers, let's just say, are those individuals that, they really could be sitting back relaxing, but they choose not to. Or maybe they would like to be sitting back and relaxing, but something really got their goat and they've decided to stand up and go fix it. And I can spot a soldier from a mile away. And Kathy was one of those special people that walked into the room. She was just like the rest of us shopping over the holidays, but she had she was rushed and she didn't have that relaxed look on her face like a lot of Christmas shoppers get to have when they're just leisurely enjoying time with their families. She had to get in and get out and get on with something. And I appreciate that spirit because that means she's got stuff to do. And I have to say, as a community, we're all better for it when people like Kathy stand up. Kathy is the executive director of Build Futures. And Build Futures is providing the key to youth success, but really is addressing the homeless issue in late teens and early 20 individuals in Orange County. Kathy is not from the area, but she moved here about 9 years ago. Did I get that right? 7 years ago. Okay. And when she got here, she's going to tell us a story about what got her goat and why she decided to do something about it. She said to me driving over, I should be retired right now. And she laughs because she's busy and trying to address a huge problem. We do have this problem in Orange County, and gosh, you think to yourself, who's taking care of these things? And you kind of hope there's somebody, but yes, there is. And it's something that we can all do to get behind people like Kathy and help, because they're stepping out and working on a cause that needs to be addressed. Kathy, talk to me about Build Futures. What happened? You came out here to California to enjoy some nice sun and relaxation from the East Coast, and here you are starting a nonprofit organization.
That was not my intention, as I had mentioned, but I've always volunteered. So I started volunteering, and I identified a huge gap in services and housing for homeless 18 to 24-year-olds. And it's a huge problem that people don't know exists, but it's actually getting worse and worse. So I started Build Futures in 2009 to help these kids in crisis towards a better future.
Okay, so how did you identify the problem? I mean, you came out here and what'd you see?
Well, I started, as I said, volunteering and helping a couple homeless kids. And I literally went all over Orange County for a year talking to every single nonprofit who could possibly help them, and found there was none. So after pretty much saying I would not start a nonprofit, I started a nonprofit.
That's exactly what you did. I'll be darned. All right. Well, so it's interesting because you service the population from 18 to 24. And I don't know, you just don't look at Orange County and think we'd have a homeless problem here. But, you know, we've had shows on here where we deal with, we did a four-part series with domestic violence here. And with that, we got to find out about the homeless children population and also, you know, wives that are fleeing from domestic issues in their families. How do kids 18 to 24 fall out of stable housing? How does this happen?
Well, we are finding it's one of three main reasons, could be a combination. The first is they've turned to the street rather than face sexual, physical, or emotional abuse.
Do you mean in the home?
Yes, in the home. And kids have actually said they feel safer on the street than they do in their own homes. The second is that they're thrown out of their homes. And finally, as you mentioned, the huge homeless population we have here in Orange County. So they come from homeless families or a background of chronic homelessness. And in our situation of the 76 kids we took off the street last year, 80% were 18 to 21, and the majority were women.
Unbelievable. So, okay, you said 76 kids in Orange County you took off the street last year. How much bigger is the problem than that? I mean, you were able to help 76 kids. Were there more kids that were in need that you just couldn't get to them all?
Oh, many, many, many more. The statistics, I believe it was the school year ending in 2014, had 2,242 high school seniors who turned 18 and were homeless.
Okay. And you're saying that a lot of the situations they had unstable housing before.
Correct.
And, you know, I read one of the stories where the mother, this is just, you know, one of the sadder stories, where the mother decided she was going to let her boyfriend move in and the daughter no longer fit into the house because of whatever the dynamics were between the boyfriend and the daughter. And so the daughter was asked to leave. And this forced her into a situation of homelessness.
That is actually a very, very common problem in Orange County across all socioeconomic levels. We call those the ones that are throwaways. Many, many times parents have separated, divorced, and the parent gets a new partner, spouse, and that exact situation happens. The teenagers can be difficult sometimes, or just having an extra person around. So the parents choose the spouse or partner over their own child. So there's a lot of kids who, this is in addition to the ones who were in schools at 18. These are ones that now, when they turn 18, parents can throw them out of the house, and they do.
Well, and you know, I can think to some parenting strategies where parents think they're doing right by telling their children all along, when you turn 18, you're out, you got to find your way. And in hopes that the child will launch, you know, and go become a successful individual. But society isn't really working that way anymore. It doesn't seem as easy for kids to get out of the house in the same way that they used to. So, you know, maybe that parenting strategy has to be evaluated, or we need to evaluate, you know, society around us to figure out why it is so hard for kids to launch. I mean, is that part of the issue, do you think? The economics?
The economics, sorry.
You know, of today's, you know, employment issues and whatnot?
The economics are a huge part of the issue. Actually, the unemployment rate for 16 to 24-year-olds, I believe, is the highest in history. Also, Orange County itself is one of the fourth most expensive counties in the country to live in. So there's really not affordable housing. So combine not affordable housing with no jobs, and these kids often have gaps in education, skills, and things like that. And this is, I think I heard recently that they're saying the average age for kids to launch now is about 29.
You know, it's funny. I was just redoing my real estate license, and in fact, the statistic you cite is pretty close to what they are recognizing as part of the real estate issue as well, just because kids aren't going out and buying homes because they're staying at home with their parents much longer. And eventually, they'll have to move out because their parents are going to buy smaller homes so that they can't live there anymore. But that statistic is true. So, okay, well, let's just back up a little bit. What were you doing before all of this? Can you tell me a little bit about who you are?
Well, I came here to retire. So
you were from back east?
I was from Potomac, Maryland. And my kids had just, the last one went off to college. So my husband and I retired here to California, where weather's a lot better than on the East Coast. So we came here, and through the volunteering, I found this need. But I had come from a business background, so I'm basically a business person versus nonprofit, although I've volunteered for a couple decades.
Okay. And so talk to me about some of your volunteer activities, because is that what led you to determine what the existence of the problem actually was?
Well, it was my volunteering that led me to do that. I guess in the old days was a CASA, worked with foster kids. My kids were just going into college, so I've worked obviously involved in their lives and all the other activities with kids that age. So I was very involved in youth-oriented volunteering.
Okay. The UC Irvine Advisory Council for Civic and Community Engagement. Can you tell me a little bit about that? That was in your bio.
Yeah, that's just basically some people from the community. We actually are a full field study web work site for the interns, for UCI interns.
Do you mean Build Futures is?
Build Futures, yes.
Okay.
Build Futures. We every semester, we take interns and they work with us for the 10-week semester. And we were asked, because we are involved with that, to be on this advisory committee for the community.
Okay.
To get input.
Wonderful. Okay, so if a student is listening, or a faculty member that knows a student out there might be interested in this, can you tell them how they might get a hold of you to do an internship through that council?
Well, we're on the website, UCI's website, for each semester's career opportunities. I mean, we get a lot of social ecology students. We actually are probably full for this coming semester, so that's a good thing, because it is actually the busiest, most full semester, because everyone's graduating and they haven't done their internships yet, so they
beef up.
we tend to get all the people who've not done their internships. So but normally every semester we accept most of the interns who come and want to work with us.
Okay. And what type of a career, with that work that they do, what type of a career do they typically go off into?
Well, there's, like I said, a lot of them are coming from the social ecology program, but we've also had business interns, okay, because we have a Salesforce database. A nonprofit is a business. So marketing, we had one, not UCI, Fullerton, a whole marketing group did a marketing campaign, social media campaign for us. So there's a wide variety a volunteer intern opportunities.
Okay, wonderful. I also noticed, let's see, you were on the Orange County Commission to End Homelessness, Rapid Rehousing and Employment Implementation. Was that before you built Build Futures?
No, this is current.
Okay.
So currently I'm involved in the Rapid Rehousing and Employment Implementation Groups for the Commission to End Homelessness, which basically nonprofits all work together to move towards implementing more rapid rehousing, which we actually, Build Futures, has been doing from the beginning. And also because the employment, as I mentioned, employment is a huge issue. Basically, if you're homeless, there's two things. First, housing, and then employment, because the only way you can obtain and maintain housing is to have a job, is to be or have some kind of income.
Absolutely. All right. If you're just tuning in with us, this is Real People OC. We're here at the 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock hour each and every Thursday afternoon. And I'm your host, Kimberly Martin. And I have with me today as my guest, Kathy Tillotson. She is the executive director of Build Futures. And Build Futures provides services to homeless youth between the ages of 18 to 24. She's helped nearly 600 kids in crisis find housing, jobs, and support here in Orange County. And so we're talking to her today about the immensity of this problem in Orange County. And, you know, you wouldn't think about it. You just don't see it. And tell me really quickly how one might notice some signs that somebody is homeless if they wanted to help them find their way to an organization like Build Futures.
Well, the most important thing for most of the kids who are homeless is for you not to know they're homeless, because anyone who has kids in the high school, college age knows that fitting in with your peers is a critically important thing. So they don't want to be labeled. So one of the biggest issues is they look like everybody else. They look like my kids. They look like your kids. So it's not that they really stand out. And because in some cases they have to sleep during the day and walk around at night. You see them walking all around normally. I mean, obviously, a lot of them would have backpacks, the condition of their clothes, except nowadays, a lot of teens and college kids were
wearing the grunge look anyway.
So I don't know. It's not that easy to pick someone else. And they're, because the fact that they've had really bad interactions and been exploited and had all kinds of horrible experiences with adults, they're very hesitant to ask for help.
Right. So they're much of this comes or is born out of the mistrust for the adults in their lives, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Well, or even after they've left and gotten on the street, adults they've encountered.
A whole separate issue that we can discuss too later in the hour. All right. So if in fact they're not wanting to be known, how do they find their way to you? How are you? Are you identifying them, or is social services identifying them? What's happening to bring the kids to you?
They're all referred to us. So we basically get referrals from everywhere, from 211, from other nonprofits, from faith-based organizations, from individuals, from schools.
Okay, let's go back to what is 211?
Okay, 211 is a countywide phone number that you call for any type of help or resources to find out where resources are. Now, that is the issue because most people don't know about 211.
I was just going to say, this is unfortunately the first time I've heard of 211.
That is the problem. Yes, that's very common. That's very common. So people don't know who to call.
So let's get the word out, 211, if you need. So any kind of services, not just if you're homeless, but maybe if you needed medical care, immediate medical care, or, I mean, not 911 medical care, but you needed to find a doctor or, you know, somebody.
Well, maybe not the medical, but they could do medical referrals, but,
right.
You know, mental health, just a lot of transportation, just a lot of resources. They actually have a website, 211oc.org as well.
211oc.org. Okay, that's a good one to have. Very good. All right. So they're coming to you, and give me an example of what an intake is like for you when you find a new individual.
Well, it depends on who referred them. Generally, most of them are probably over the phone, even whether I had a lady who found someone on the street just 2 days ago and actually brought them to our office when she got her husband. So two of them dropped them off at our door. We've had police drop them off. Not that we're in the office every single day, but normally it's over the phone, so they'll be at a nonprofit or faith-based organization. Someone will have them, and we'll do the intake actually over the phone. And because we have a relationship with a lot of different housing, we don't have our own housing, but work with other for-profit housing that are shared houses.
Okay,
we can place them right away. And at times, it's even possible to place someone without them even seeing us.
Okay, so they don't even have to come in. Well, let's give out that website and that telephone number that someone could call or learn about more about Build Futures. Do you want to give that out?
Yeah, it's www.buildfutures.org. So build, B-U-I-L-D, futures, F-U-T-R-E-S.org. And the number to call is 714-907-7358, or you can email Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at buildfutures.org.
Okay, and that telephone number one more time?
714-907-7358.
Okay, and that's a number you can call. And do they talk to a counselor? Do they just talk to somebody in your office and they say, look, I don't have a place to sleep tonight?
That's correct.
Okay, and then what do you do?
Then we find out where they are, what the situation is, if they have any transportation to get anywhere, and work out either whether where they are can give them a bus pass or work something out, or we have to meet them.
Okay. One of the things I thought was interesting when you were on your website, there's opportunities for people to volunteer, opportunities for people to donate. We'll get into that. But one of the most interesting things was that gift cards were really helpful. You know, so many people get gift cards over the holidays and they don't maybe shop at a place like that or dine at a place that they've received. Build Futures would be an opportunity to receive those unused gift cards, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you put those in the hands of the individuals, and Is that how it works or how does it work?
No, actually, if it's a food card like Subway, McDonald's, whatever like that, we would. But if it's a card like Walmart, Target, or those things, we actually go shopping with them.
And get them what they need. So that they don't make any bad choices.
Correct. Correct.
They don't buy an iPod instead of shoes. And
exactly. And exactly.
Those temptations are there no matter what.
Exactly.
Age,
exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, it says here in one of your statistics as to why Build Futures exists that in the last 3 years, the number of homeless students has doubled to more than 10,000 in our area high schools. That's a shocking number.
It's, bad. It's really bad. I mean, over 10,000 homeless high school students in Orange County Public Schools, but more appalling is it's doubled in 3 years. I mean, so the problem is obviously getting much worse.
Is it, so are we thinking it's growing because the economic pressures on families is so high right now?
Well, we have a huge wealth gap here in Orange County. I mean, believe in the Children and Families Report, it estimated almost 50% of the families in Orange County are at the poverty level or below.
Wow, that's significant and very high. Okay, so what I think is so interesting about your organization is that you chose the 18 to 24-year-old population. You know, there is help for those kids that are in high school, isn't there?
Under 18, well, legally, the county, state, federal are required to take care of someone under 18.
So someone like me who hears this problem and is overwhelmed by it, there's legislation that you know, we hope to be a part of in passing and whatnot, or voting for the right things. But it doesn't always fix the problem, does it? Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I know some people know there was recent, it's been a while, a couple of years now, but there's a big misconception that the kids we help are from the foster system, and that is not the case. The legislation that came out, which was very good, is AB 12, which for kids 18 to 21 who are emancipating out of the foster system get $820 a month, and they get other support services. For example, here in Orange County, and these are Orange County stats, there's 5 or 6 housing options for these kids who emancipate out of the foster system at 18, and they also get this AB 12 money, and they have a lot of other support systems. However, the numbers are significantly different. Emancipating out of the foster system in Orange County each year is less than 150 kids. They're not all homeless. Versus the 2,242, there were homeless high school seniors that will turn 18, and the majority will be homeless. So it's a lot more.
Is that because they weren't identified as foster kids during that time period?
Well,
or during the time they were a student?
Well, you know, there's a big trend away from things like group homes, and there's a strong emphasis on family reunification. So that's the reason why a lot more kids are not going into the foster system. So it's complicated. But,
all right. Well, let's dig into that because we have some time. And it's really important to understand why, when you hear a number like 10,000, how that could possibly be. Would you call it a breakdown in the system? Because it seems to me we have so many fabulous organizations trying to address this problem. I can think of, you know, 4 or 5 that I've encountered on this show already, and yet the problem still exists to be such a huge issue. So what are some of the sticky wickets that are causing this to still be such an issue?
Well, there's several, and it's not, you know, just one specific thing. Currently, the nonprofits that are operating in Orange County are serving mostly families, very few singles. However, a recent report done by a consultant for the county found that 83% of the homeless were actually single. So what is in the process of being done is a right-sizing of the current systems to serve those who are actually literally homeless versus ones who are moving from one location to another. But the affordability, the combination of the lack of affordable housing or affordable rents and the wealth gap and the poverty in Orange County are all contributing to this. But again, in terms of these kids' lives, they're coming from horrible, dysfunctional families in some cases, families with lots of drug use, lots of abuse, and they're not getting helped.
And maybe because they haven't been put into the system yet, their families have managed to stay out of, you know, the eyes of social services. Is that what's happening?
Well, again, social services' main focus is to reunify the kids with the family.
And
that's sometimes not a good thing.
So do you think that's maybe part of the problem, that there's been almost like a trendy little shift in the way they're providing services?
You know, I'm not going to try to say that, but I'm saying that is the policies, and that is the kids I've seen or have had really, really, majority of them, really bad
home life. Okay. So for those kids that reunification isn't an option, and you're saying the system is trending towards that, the group homes, are they disappearing or what's happening?
Well, they are declining.
Okay. You provided me with a sheet that's the homeless system overview in Orange County. And is that something we can talk about, where we can talk about how many providers for shelters and the different types of housing that's available right now?
Well, that's a subset, because that's a subset of the ones who are getting HUD funding, which is Housing and Urban Development funding, which is a big number. I think this year Orange County was getting about 19 million or something. And then of course, each nonprofit gets their own private funding as well as that HUD funding. So the numbers that in one of the recent reports done by a consultant are over $40 million is going into helping the homeless. However, it was found that only a small portion of that was actually going to literally homeless people.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit. Are we going to get you in trouble?
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. Lots of trouble. Lots of trouble.
It doesn't look like you're unfamiliar with that, but I think it's helpful to know, because I really think people want to help, and I think they want to know where to put their efforts to make a difference immediately in an individual's life, and not just throw, you know, fluff and stuff towards an issue and just feel like they can go to bed at night because they did something. I mean, I think people want to be a little bit more, I don't know, involved or connected to the outcome, and in any case, connected to a positive outcome, right?
That's great. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. I think being intelligent funders is a really important thing. I think understanding that homeless people need housing is the first thing. Housing first. I mean, across the country, they've proven that is the national evidence-based best practice. They had the whole state of Utah has decided they're housing every homeless because it's a lot cheaper for them to do that. LA did a study and found that it was close to $3,000 a month for someone homeless to stay on the street versus $605 to house them. So across New York, this is across the country. All kinds of places are fine. Housing is a lot less expensive.
Well, and if you compare that to the cost of somebody that maybe, you know, while they're homeless, they get in trouble and they get put in jail, the cost for a night in jail is significantly higher than what it would to put them up for the month, right?
Correct. Like in Orange County, I think that per night's about $94, which is about $658 a week. Well, for $500 a month, we could house someone for a month for $500. So the cost to not house someone are much, much, much more significant.
Huge. Yeah. Huge, huge shift in the understanding of how you might want to attack this problem. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the different types of housing? There's emergency shelters, transitional housing, and is rapid rehousing a category of a certain type of home that's offered, or how does that work within the system as it is in Orange County, but also within Build Futures?
Well, we have always practiced emergency/rapid rehousing. So we don't believe anybody should be on the street. We house someone within 24 hours if they're able to, physically and mentally able to work and want to work. That's not technically rapid rehousing is similar, but not necessarily within the short time frame, but it is to get them housed quickly. And that is proven across the country, again, evidence-based across the country, to be the best practice. Unfortunately, only about 1% of the nonprofits in Orange County are doing that.
So what are they doing instead?
They're doing the transitional housing and permanent supportive housing. And unfortunately, a lot of the people they are housing aren't literally homeless. So that's a problem as well.
So let's go back to the nuances between the two, because that's important. I don't think I understand the difference between the two. And likely the listeners would want some more distinctive, you know, information so they can understand that. Because like any problem, some people think if you just throw enough money at it, you can fix it. But that certainly isn't going to be the case for this issue, is it?
No. Not unless you're an intelligent funder.
Okay. And that's what you're saying is in terms of people listening or people that are interested in helping with a cause, they have to themselves become an informed and intelligent funder. Is that
correct?
What you mean? Okay. So a funder is somebody that's a volunteer, that's somebody that wants to donate, but they need to know the facts.
Right.
Okay. So let's help them make a good decision.
Okay. I'll try.
Okay.
So I guess it's classified. Emergency housing is in Orange County. We have the armories. We have two cold weather armories that are open. One's in Fullerton, one's in Santa Ana. That's where up to 200 people sleep on mats on the floor in a big, huge room. And this is every homeless person. So from the one who has substance abuse to mental health to the, in the case of my kids who are just, you know, don't have housing, they're all in one big room.
Okay, that would be an example of an emergency shelter.
Correct. Okay. The other one would possibly be Salvation Army.
Okay.
Which takes men only.
And currently right now we have, 15 providers of that in Orange County? Am I looking at a national?
Well, that's Orange County, but yeah. A lot of them are domestic violence.
Okay. Of those total providers, many of those are just housing women that have fled from their homes due
correct.
To domestic violence.
Well, I think actually a couple of them are doing men now too. But
okay.
Anyway,
I don't want to be biased
violence.
There.
Yes, exactly.
Last I checked, Vivian.
I would say still the majority are going to be women.
Yeah, I think it was the women that were.
I think. But yeah, actually, the majority of emergency housing is coming from those cold weather armories, like 70%, and then another 40% of the domestic violence do emergency housing.
Okay. All right. And then what is transitional housing?
Transitional housing is when they will be in a, sometimes it's a shared apartment, shared house with other like women and children or families for a period of time. And it can vary, you know, nonprofit by nonprofit from 3-6 months to 2 years. That's what's called transitional housing.
Okay. And there's 33 providers in Orange County that we know of right now, right?
Well, those are just the ones that were funded by HUD.
Okay.
So there's more.
Okay. There is more then. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And that's what they want to get away from is having less transitional housing and more of the rapid rehousing. So putting them in the idea is to put them in a place they can stay so they don't have to leave.
Okay. So give us an idea then of what this rapid rehousing looks like. Are these apartments that are older apartments that are being refurbished for this purpose? Or what are these? What does this rapid rehousing look at? Are these old motels? What is it?
Well, that's the problem in Orange County.
Okay.
There's not affordable housing. I think, and I don't know what the exact numbers are, but well over 200,000 shortage of affordable workforce housing. And here we're talking about extremely low affordable housing, which is even harder. So that's definitely one of the biggest issues. But in the cases of what's being done in Orange County, yes, it would be apartments. And, you know, apartments do have a percentage affordable housing, which would be 30% of your income. So there is some. So that would be what they're using. Nonprofits that are shifting into this are getting apartments, sometimes master leasing them, that type of thing.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to hear. Is that what you're working with? You said earlier rapid rehousing model is the one that you're thinking is the best.
Well, we use emergency rapid rehousing, and we use shared houses. So basically multiple, you know, quite a few people in the house. So maybe you share a room with someone else, and you have a kitchen. I mean, it's a proper house and it's a kitchen and everything, but there'd be quite a number of people. And basically we pay, in essence, for a bed in that house.
Okay. And is another provider offering this home? Or
well, these are for-profit.
Okay.
These are for-profit houses that many times someone will own, you know, 8 to 10 or more.
And you call these group homes?
No, they're shared housing.
Is different.
Some are sober living.
Okay.
So for kids who have an issue, but shared housing.
Okay. All right. So let me take a little pause here. If you're just tuning in, this is Real People OC, and I am your host, Kimberly Martin, and we're having an interesting discussion about a problem that unfortunately is growing in Orange County, not shrinking, and it is the issue of youth homelessness. And the youth that we're addressing in this topic is very specifically narrowed to the 18 to 24 year old population. And it's interesting because so many kids are offered services that are in these circumstances in high school. But then, as you were saying, they age out of the system. But if you were a foster kid in the system, you have some services at your disposal that kids that maybe just fall into this category once they've turned 18 won't have any access to these funds. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, basically, there's nothing other than the same services a homeless 40-year-old or whatever we get. I mean, they can get food stamps, they can get Medi-Cal insurance, but no, there's no housing services. Yeah, they just don't have any buffer, any safety net.
So you've got no home. Likely at some point you don't have any hope. You don't have enough rest, and you can't really see your way out of the situation very easily, can you?
No. They need help.
They need help. One of the things I love about the organization is it attempts to address, once you do get an individual within within your care, you help them quickly to find work. Is that a difficult transition, or are they usually very eager to get back to a normal life? What's that like for your organization?
Well, it's a very difficult transition. So we're talking about kids, and one of the studies that came out said the average was about 2 years these kids had been on the street in some cases.
Oh, wow. That's shocking.
It's beyond shocking because actually, you know, a lot more in some cases. Some kids get on the street at young ages, 11, 12, 13.
And it's hard to see that because these kids blend right in. Why do they blend in so easily?
They want to. I mean, that's they like want said, that to. They don't. Part. That's the main thing. They want to look like everybody else. They don't want to stand out. So they, you know, do whatever they can to blend in. And they might, there's just a lot of horrible things that happen on the street. But when you're on the street, as you briefly mentioned about sleep deprivation, think about it. You're on the street, you're getting interrupted sleep because you're not allowed to sleep on the street. So you get interrupted by the police or different events, other homeless people. You're getting sleep deprived. They just had a recent study that came out and found that, you know, if you estimate maybe 20 to 25% of the people might have mental health issues, the other 75, are we actually creating mental health issues because of the fact that they have the sleep deprivation? They've shown that sleep deprivation can produce psychosis and mental health issues. So this is a serious problem. Plus, you know, you're out there, there's no facilities. If you have to go to the bathroom, most things are closed or many businesses won't allow you, but you have to take everything with you because people steal it. And it's just a horrible existence. And 60% of the kids get victimized on the street.
By other homeless?
Other homeless, human trafficking. I mean, everybody.
Oh, we've done a couple episodes of the show on human trafficking, and that is just another huge issue. And we can talk about that a little later if we have some time, but I want to hear more about what the organization is doing. So somebody is lucky enough to fall into the care of an organization like Build Futures. And let's talk about what their first week and their first month might look like.
Well, basically, we do an assessment. We have something called our Steps to Success, which basically I developed to identify step by step what needs to be done to have them become self-sufficient as quickly as possible. So obviously, the first thing is stable housing, and they need that one-on-one support because this is a hard transition. Going from the street to normal society is difficult. They didn't have to be somewhere at 9 o'clock. They didn't have to take the bus all around. I mean, it's scary, it's hard, and there's a lot of obstacles and barriers. And then we just go down the line on our steps to success, basic necessities. We provide them with transportation and a phone. We connect them to any social services. We get them funds for get the California ID. For right to work documentation, you have to have a California ID and Social Security card. Most of those have been stolen or lost. So they need those. Those can take anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks to get both of those. And especially now with the DMV, it's probably going to be longer.
Yikes.
So during that time, who pays the rent? The rent has to be paid while they're waiting for those. They have job. They need to get job readiness training because they need to, even if you got them a job, many times they can't keep it because they're not ready for a job. They haven't learned to be on time. They've come from the streets, so they need to go through some workshops and programs to learn about that. Half of them don't have high school or GED. We try to get them a plan towards that once they do work, budgeting. So it's just a step-by-step process of things you need to do, but there's a lot of obstacles and barriers in the system.
Okay, let's talk about those because that's probably the most important thing that people understand. Most people, let's just say you're sitting there and you're unsympathetic to the problem. Let's try to make it easier for you to understand why the problem exists.
Well, again,
these obstacles are. Yeah,
no one's housing them, so that's obviously the first obstacle. As I said, you know, victimization, human trafficking, sleep deprivation. So they need housing. So we need to get them some housing. Employment is another huge obstacle. They have no skills. Half of them don't have the high school or GED. So when someone's looking at resumes, they're not going to hire one of these kids. So we need some people to be having some employment opportunities. But they've did a study show, and actually several studies have shown, kids at risk or kids from this situation, it's an appalling number. They estimate that only 1% will graduate college and that only like 2% will even get an associate's degree. It's so far out of their reach because for them to ever get above, well, particularly in Orange County, for them to get above a minimum wage, they need to, so that they can pay rent while they go to school, they need skills.
Right.
And that's what they need to get. They need to get quickly. They need to be able to work and get a certificate and get skilled in something that will give them more per hour. And that's a big obstacle and barrier. And we don't have programs really geared to do that.
Okay. So what do you see? Is there hope on the horizon?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of movement and talk about getting certificate programs, having more online programs. We really need to go back to where we had the apprenticeships and internships and employers, you know, training, on-the-job training kind of things.
Okay. So that they have building skills and whatnot. Okay. So if you're just tuning in, this is Real People OC, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin. I am delighted to have with me Kathy Tillotson, the Executive Director of Build Futures. Kathy was the recipient of Senator Lou Correa's Women Making a Difference Award in 2011 and was also recognized here in Orange County on National Philanthropy Day. I attended that event. It was an excellent event, and although I didn't meet you that day, I'm happy that you have an opportunity to sit with us here today on Real People OC and be honored in a way for, you know, taking a stand. This is a lady that really could sit back, came to California to retire and not necessarily rest on her laurels, but, you know, wasn't planning on tackling a major homelessness issue here in Orange County. What made you not want to just sit back? What happened? Did you see something that set you off?
Well, my kids, I guess now are 24 and 25. So that means they were just, you know, had just turned 18 in one case and 19. So they were this age. And when I first started working with the couple homeless kids that I was, thinking about the fact that this could have, if my kids weren't, did not have the good fortune to be born into the family they were born in, this could be them, and who would be out there helping them? And I mean, maybe I don't feel that my kids are behind, but I can tell you, well, brain research has shown that the executive function of the brain is not fully developed till the mid-20s. So that means...
And any parent of a teenager can attest
exactly,
to that.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, what I was going to say is I know I certainly saw that my kids were definitely not there yet. So the problem is that that means you make, you know, the choices, bad choices, have bad judgment, don't see if I do this today, tomorrow might not be so good. But add on to that, coming from a dysfunctional family, how about if you've never seen a good choice made? I mean, then what are you going to do? Because you don't even have a reference point. So oftentimes there's been no positive adult role model to even, you know what are good things. But, you know, as we see in college binge drinking and all kinds of things, these kids are not adults yet.
Right. And they're not ready to be cut loose for whatever reason, whether, you know, their families weren't stable enough to provide it for them. Society should come up with some strategy to make this a better transition. You know, we don't want to leave our youth behind. One of the statistics I didn't like reading was that 5,000 homeless kids die per year nationally. Are they succumbing to the environment of homelessness or?
No, this is while being homeless on the street. They're victims. As I said, 60% becomes victims of violence, rape, assault, human trafficking, theft.
Any number of things that can happen when you're not, you know, cared for in a home.
Right. Well, no, when you're on the street. I mean, it's very, very dangerous on the street.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in Orange County, they had an article not long ago in the Orange County Register that reported local gangs now are moving into human trafficking because it's safer and more lucrative than drugs or weapons.
Well, they can't probably get caught as easily because, you know, if you're caught with a person, you know, it's you know, your word against theirs rather than if you're caught red-handed holding drugs or contraband of any kind.
Correct.
Yeah, the sex trafficking thing is pretty horrific. And I think people are pretty shocked when they hear that there's even, you know, the possibility of that in Orange County.
Well, we have huge convention centers, and that's really what the attraction often is. So we have a lot of people coming here, and unfortunately, a lot of people are looking for,
you know, to trade in prostitution.
Right.
So when you say convention centers, you mean because we have the good weather and we're attracting people here from out of other parts of the country, other parts of the world, they're coming here and this is a perfect time to misbehave because they're away from their own families?
Well, I mean, they're calling the Super Bowl, like the problems there, as one of the big sex trafficking, human trafficking events of the year.
Right.
And it's a similar concept when you have like the Anaheim Convention Center, have people coming all over for a convention and something. Mm-hmm. It's a similar concept.
Okay, good. On the notes that we look over to learn more about your organization and this problem at hand, it says that it only takes an average of $1,000 to transform the life of an individual and to restore hope. That's not much, you know. I mean, when you think about the amount of money is raised in this county for all manner of nonprofit organizations, that's a really insignificant amount of money to make a huge difference in somebody's life, isn't it?
That's what's so criminal and that's what's so heartbreaking, is that it doesn't take that much to transform a life. Maybe save a life.
Right, right. Let's talk about some ways that if people wanted to volunteer and get involved, one of the ways that they can, or some of the ways that they can, either with you or local community efforts where time could be well spent helping the homeless population in this age category.
Well, we do everything in all different skill sets. We have a Salesforce database. We have marketing. We have administrative things to do. We need mentors. We need people do case notes, client case notes. There's just a fund. We desperately need a fundraiser. So we need all kinds of things.
So you haven't had a big fundraiser yet for your organization?
No, we have not.
And so, gosh, I know so many people that are fabulous with this talent. If anybody out there is listening and wants to put your talent to a nonprofit organization, this is a great one to investigate at buildfutures.org. And then you can email Kathy at Kathy@buildfutures.org. That's BUILD futures, FUTURES. Kathy, I want you to go ahead and give that telephone number one more time that somebody could call if they know someone's in crisis. First we learned today about 211, right? And I am missing that page for volunteers because I know that you have a lot of volunteers from the university that come through the Irvine Advisory Council.
Well, no, they come through the UC. I mean, they come from UCI.
UCI, yeah. to do UCI Advisory Council for Civic and Community
Engagement.
Well,
that's a UCI and the community together.
Okay.
The interns are actually UCI.
You can offer internships,
yes,
as well, or
yes.
Or even we'll call it an internship, but it could also be a volunteer position as
Correct.
Well.
Correct. Yeah, but we have internship positions. We're, you know, certified on the UCI website.
Perfect.
So we have intern and volunteer opportunities, lots of them. And we are all volunteer organizations. So basically, if you think of anything that needs to be done in an organization, we have that needs as volunteer because we're all volunteer. And because of that, 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to the kids, to the clients, to helping them for something they need. So very, very, very little overhead. Most our office space is donated. We get a lot of in-kind stuff, so we really try to maximize the amount that goes straight to the kids.
Okay, wonderful. Volunteers, if they wanted to just do it once a month, what kind of an activity would you suggest they look into?
Well, we have a wide variety, something like doing community outreach, or we give groceries. We do things like have people make hygiene kits or even food packs or grocery bags. So when we put someone in a house, in a room, give them a bag of groceries of non-perishable things that they can start off with, peanut butter and jelly. So making that up in a church group or a Boy Scout, Girl Scout. So different things like that.
So any organization out there that's listening and wants to do a service project maybe? Okay. They contact you and say, we'd like to do a service project. We have, you know, 50 kids that need service hours and, you know, what can we do to help?
Right, right. That could, I mean, we, you know, not hundreds and hundreds, but we use quite a lot of the, you know, hygiene kits. So when they move into a room, they need, you know, toothpaste, toothbrush, shampoo, deodorant, razors, things like that. So, and then again, the groceries or just food packs, like a little lunches to take. Like if they're out for the day, they can have a little pack with stuff to eat while they're out.
Okay. We're drawing down on our time, and we have about 2 or 3 minutes left. And I want to make sure you get in as much information as you want to have here to share. But I would like to review just a couple national statistics to reiterate one of the things that we discussed in the interview is how dangerous it is to live on the street, that 60% of individuals that are on the street are victimized, and a majority of the homeless are there, homeless on average between 2 to 9 years. That is staggering to hear that homelessness can last that long in this country, the greatest country where we have so much fortune. That somebody could be on the street for 9 years is astounding.
One of the other really, you know, astounding numbers is that in California, 79% of the homeless youth are unsheltered, meaning only 21% of the kids who are homeless get a shelter, a place to go. That's why we have the kids for 2 to 9 years on the street.
Because it takes them so long. Are these people waiting in a queue, waiting for
no,
housing?
Or
they're just not
there's
identified
just, there's
yet?
Just, there is no housing. That's the problem. That's why we were formed, because there is no real funding at this point for housing for youth 18 to 24 who are not from the foster system. And that's where the problem is, because, well, to give you an example, there's funding for vets. There's 84 nonprofits in Orange County that help vets because there's funding for vets. It's kind of like... goes in and in.
Let's share the wealth here a little bit.
So right now, there's not really any coming down from the federal and even state, you know, funding for housing these youth.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. And there was a couple of statistics I felt were pretty interesting. 50% of them had reported physical harm by a family member. That probably is what led to them to leave their home and find safety in the shelter of the street.
That's correct.
Oddly enough. 20% were either beaten with an object or were sexually abused, and or somebody close to them was murdered, which is, you know, post-traumatic stress. There's your mental health issues right there that could cause somebody not to want to be a productive individual.
Well, large majority of the kids have experienced trauma.
Yeah.
And there's some definitely ongoing things based upon having experienced trauma. I mean, think of, you know, soldiers coming back from war. With these kids, sometimes it's not different than the PTSD that they get from the trauma they've experienced.
Right, right. Well, it's really been a great hour I've gotten to share with you. Is there anything else you want to share before we go? Just to interest our listeners in looking into a little bit more about buildfutures.org?
Well, like I said, you know, last year the majority of the kids we got were women, so we're seeing more women on the streets who don't have anywhere to go. And these the demographics for these kids basically map into what the demographics are for our county. They're not undocumented. And the biggest thing, you know, if we don't help them, then they're going to die or get involved in crime, drugs, jail, sex trafficking, because we're leaving them no other choices and no other options.
Right. All right. Well, Kathy Tillotson, buildfutures.org executive director, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us a really difficult topic. And I so appreciate you being here to share it with us. And certainly hope that Orange County steps up and finds its way into helping organizations that are trying to address the issue of homelessness in our older youth.
Thank you so much, Kimberly, for this opportunity. I really, really appreciate helping to raise awareness about what's going on.
It's been a pleasure. All right. Up next is Matt Kaplan, and he brings to you Counterspin. And then after that is Planetary Radio. We are thankful for you to tune in with us each and every week. And we'll be back next week with another interesting guest. And thank you for joining us for this hour. Have a great day.